Every parent-to-be faces the same challenge, and that is what to name the baby. And so most parents, or at least many, buy a baby book that has all kinds of names to choose from. It deals with family politics. You know, somebody wants you to name your child after you know who, but that name reminds you of someone else that you went to school with. And so that name is sort of out. And then eventually, there's a short list, and finally a decision is made. In our culture, usually, at least most of the time, a child gets three names. The last name pretty much determined for all of us, and then the first and the middle name. Sometimes we add junior or a number that goes at the end of the name. And in some cultures, there are fewer names or more names. In some cultures, just one. In some cultures, what we might consider to be a whole string of names. But the Christmas child had more names than most. He is referred to in the Bible as the Lamb of God, as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is called the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's called the Word, and the list goes on. But one of the most beautiful lists of names given to this Christmas child was written long before he was conceived or born, almost 700 years prior to the Bethlehem birth. It is a list that was composed by the prophet Isaiah, names predicted that give a marvelous insight into who this Christmas child really was. As a prophet, Isaiah, of course, predicted the future, including the birth of the Son of God. And he made one of the most amazing predictions of all in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, the fulfillment of this spectacular prophecy is recorded in Matthew chapter 1. That this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So even before Jesus was born, it was obvious that he was no ordinary child. The place of his birth was predicted by the prophet Micah. The spectacular circumstances of being born to a mother who was still a virgin was explained and predicted by Isaiah. And there are all kinds of other predictions that are made, and they all came true. And it's because God was sending his son, his eternal son, into the world, and that he would become human. And not just human for a short period of time, after which he would trash his body and go back to the way things always were. This was a permanent taking on of humanity forever and ever. And so the Son of God still today has a human body that is like our human body. So all of this was to be forever and was to be absolutely supernatural. So it's no wonder that this same prophet listed amazing names for this Christmas child who was to be born of a virgin. It's two chapters later in Isaiah's prophecy that he writes, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah talks like a prophet. He thinks like a prophet. Prophets are kind of different from everybody else because as a prophet, he speaks as one who is talking about the future as if it has already happened. And so he uses the past tense to describe something more than six centuries ahead into the future. And he's saying that this Christmas child is to be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, wonderful is, of course, a regular part of our vocabulary. We use it all the time. You'll say to somebody, I had a wonderful time at the zoo. And she had wonderful weather for her birthday. But something more than that is meant here. It is wonderful in the sense of being full of wonder, being full of that which is dazzling and spectacular and exceptional. In fact, one of the words that is used in the Bible for a miracle is a wonder, full of those kinds of wonders. It's saying that something miraculous is happening here. So he is the Wonderful Counselor. Now that also is a regular part of our vocabulary because we're used to thinking of a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a marriage therapist or an attorney or a financial advisor or even a friend who gives to us advice as being a counselor. A counselor is someone who listens to what is your issue, who evaluates what you are facing, who gives direction, gives advice, sort of helps you through all of that process. We assume, if we take on a counselor, that that counselor knows things that we don't know, that the counselor is smarter than we are, at least in that particular area of expertise. We assume that a counselor has experience that we have not yet ourselves experienced. And so we trust that person. If we don't trust somebody, hardly would we pick that person to be a counselor. And you put it together, and we are told that the Christmas child is a wonderful counselor, that he has insight into things that we need insight about, that he knows the future before it actually happens, that he can anticipate every possibility, every alternative, that he can look into our biographies and say, if you want your life to turn out the best that it can be, this is the path that you ought to take. And he points us in the right direction. And in doing it, he is no ordinary counselor. You know, most counselors that any of us would go see have offices, so we go to where their offices are, and they have appointments, and so we set a specific time when we're going to meet with them, and they have time limits, and after an hour they say, I'm sorry, but can we pick this up again next week? And they have fees that they charge, and maybe most significant of all, counselors don't go with you to deal with what you've got to deal with. So if it's a marriage issue, you come to the counselor's office and you talk about it, and the counselor says, go home to your husband or your wife and try this or do that, and then come back next week at this same time next Tuesday, and then we'll process what has happened. But this counselor is completely different. He doesn't ask that we go to where he is. He comes to us. This Christmas child who is a wonderful counselor, he does not put a time limit on our sessions together. He does not charge any fee. He is absolutely free. And he goes wherever we need to go. So he is a counselor who is there with us through whatever we face. If it's surgery, he goes with us into the operating room and holds our hand. If it is a business deal, he sits in the next chair in the room where the business deal is being negotiated. He walks with us through the crisis. He sits behind us in the courtroom. He confronts us when we sin. He does all of these things in order to be with us through whatever we face. Now you know, we all do, that to take full advantage of any counselor, we need to start with trust. We need to tell the person what our need is. We need to listen to the advice. And then we need to do what we are told. And so it is for this wonderful counselor, that we need to trust him. We need to tell him what are our needs. We need to listen to what he has to say to us. And then, if his advice is to be of any advantage, we need to do what he has to say. That is the Christmas child. He is a wonderful counselor. And Isaiah said that he is to be called Mighty God. To be sure, a name that we would not give to any ordinary child. In fact, I've never even seen the name God in a baby book. I mean, who would have the audacity to name a child God? And so it is an exclusive name. It is for only one, and that is the Almighty God. Mighty, in the sense that he can do absolutely anything. He can think, and a world is created. He can speak, and a universe appears. He can interrupt the processes of nature. He can stop what is obviously going to happen and have it go a different path and a different course. He can cure any disease. He can repair any injury. He can solve any problem. He can answer any question. He can reconcile any relationship. He is mighty. God. God meaning that this child is no mere mortal. There is a very interesting choice of words that the prophet Isaiah here used. He says that to us a child is born, a son is given. When referring to the birth of the child, of course, he was referring to the birth that took place in the stable in Bethlehem that we celebrate on December 25th. It was a birth that in most regards was similar to births that have taken place billions of other times throughout history and are taking place today. So a child is born. But then an important distinction is made here when he said a son is given. It's interesting because when he used his Hebrew language, he positioned the words to indicate that the child was already a male child. It seems kind of redundant and then kind of different to say that the son is given. But a powerful truth was here being communicated, that the child had a beginning in time and history, that he did not previously exist in a human body. However, he was the Son of God who had existed for all of history before, who never had a beginning. And he was the one who was given to us. So the Son was eternal, the child had a beginning. It's the same idea that is in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Not that his one and only Son was born, but that he gave him. It was this spectacular Christmas gift. But it is also to say that he was and he is God. Some people have really struggled with that. They've said, you know, that's just too much for me to believe. I can believe in God and I can see humanity, but I cannot believe that God ever, in fact, could or did become human. The truth is that that is what the Bible explains. In the opening line of John's biography of Jesus, he says, "In the beginning was the Word," yet another name for this Christmas child. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Imagine that. That our wonderful counselor is the mighty God himself. And then he is called Everlasting Father. And that in some ways seems the strangest name on the list. For who would name a child father? I mean, that's not the role. That's not the title. That's not at that point in life. Certainly not even before the child was born. It doesn't seem to make sense. Although I think that the word order that Isaiah had in mind is a little bit different than the way it appears in our English Bibles, for it can also be rendered that he is the Father of everlasting. That is, that he is the Father of eternity. He is the Father of forever. That he is the head of household is a way that we would say it today, that he is the head of all of eternity. And as the head of all of eternity, of all of time and everything in it, he's a father to us. This Christmas child is a father to us. My father died about 10 years ago, and I still miss him. Think often of what he said and did and wonder what he would say, what he would do were he alive today. I'm grateful for him, grateful for the years of his life and the relationship that we had, but he died. And that was the end of his experience here on earth and a breaking of our relationship together. But that's simply not the case with this Christmas child who is the everlasting Father. That he is a father to me and he is a father to every one of us who does not die, who never leaves us as fatherless orphans. He lasts forever. He is there for us. He is eternal. There is no end. You know how at the end of every year and the beginning of the next, around the 31st of December and the 1st of January, there are always these cartoons that have the old year leaving, and it's a man who is sort of bent over and has his long white beard and long hair and is walking with a cane and looks like he's more than a year old at the time. And then there's also a baby, usually with a ribbon across the baby, that has the number of the new year being welcomed in. And the implication there is that the old year is dying and the new year is born, that one is old father time and the other is the new baby with the new beginning. The Christmas child was both. Both. The everlasting father and the child who was born. It is amazing. The father of everlasting. A fourth name was given by Isaiah, and that is the name Prince of Peace. And it turned out to be an especially fitting name for this baby that was born in Bethlehem. And that is because he was a prince. He was royalty by every definition. When you read the biographies of Jesus, two of them actually trace his family tree. Go back for generations in names that for us may not seem very important and are hard to read and pronounce. But the point is that the royal genealogy was there being traced, proving that this Christmas child had royal blood flowing in his veins and had a right to the throne of the nation of Israel. It's interesting because at that time there was a king that ruled over at least part of the nation of Israel, and he did not have that same royal blood. He was really sort of a puppet monarch with the strings being controlled and pulled by the Roman Caesar and Senate. But the seemingly obscure and unknown child born in Bethlehem actually did have royal blood and every right to be called a prince. A prince who was on a mission, and the mission was peace. So when he was born, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." So he came from heaven to earth. He was born in the stable in Bethlehem in order to bring peace. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. So it's not everyone. It's partial. It's exclusive. It is for those who believe in him and whom he favors in that belief. But the reality is that those who disbelieve in him and reject his peace end up with conflict, end up with anything but peace. He is a giver of peace to those who welcome and receive that peace. And it is a wonderful personal peace. When he grew to adulthood, he said that the kind of peace that he gives to us, who are his followers and believers, is a peace that you can't even understand. You can't describe it. Because you can go through the worst experiences of life and have this supernatural peace that touches you in a way that you simply cannot explain. But it's more than a personal peace. it is that eventually he will come back again, that the prophet also predicted. Not as a child born in a stable in Bethlehem, but in all the full power of royalty. He'll be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will, in his second coming, take on government itself and provide a peaceful rule for the world for the first time in all of government's history. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Quite a list of names. But let's not think that they were the names by which he was called. Don't imagine that in the middle of the afternoon, Mary went to the door and shouted out, "Wonderful Counselor, it's time for lunch." "All right, Prince of Peace, it's bedtime. And now, right now, you get off to bed. And by the way, Mighty God, you need to clean up your room before you go to sleep tonight. Let's get this straight." No, it's not as if those names were spoken in that way. We all have lots of names and titles. A person may be called governor or president or driver or judge or pastor or doctor or babe or bubba or, and there's all kinds of names by which we go, and there's only one usually that is on a birth certificate or a passport or a driver's license, and that is the official legal name. And so the Christmas child had a long list of biblical names, but his actual name was Jesus. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus. Jesus. One clever observer said, "I thought he was Jewish. Why did they give him a Spanish name if it was Jewish?" Well, actually, there are thousands of Latino parents who have named their sons Jesus in honor of the Christmas child. It is a surprisingly common Spanish name, and it was a surprisingly common Jewish name in the first century. There were hundreds, probably thousands and thousands of Jewish boys who were named Jesus. Actually, they didn't pronounce it Jesus. That's the Greek pronunciation. That's the Greek spelling. The Hebrew word is Joshua. It's a word that gives the name to one of the larger books of the Old Testament. Joshua was the man who succeeded Moses as the leader of Israel. He was a great military and political giant in Israel's history. And so lots of parents named their sons Joshua, or in Greek, named them Jesus. In fact, it was such a common name that the one in the Bible had to be distinguished from all of the others, because he'd be confused, and he was referred to as the one from Nazareth. He's Jesus of Nazareth, which is, of course, different from Jesus from Jerusalem and Jesus from Cana and Jesus from Jericho. He had to be identified in this specific way. It's also kind of interesting that by the end of the first century, the name Jesus was rarely given. Christians thought it was too much to name one of their own children Jesus, and Jewish parents recognize it to be a Christian name. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, Yahweh being the Old Testament name for God. And it was a good description for this Christmas child who was to be born and all that he was to become, because salvation was what he was all about. He was born to die. He was born to be a death substitute for sinners. And he was uniquely qualified. He was infinite and perfect and human. And to be the substitute for all sinners, all of that was required. Infinite, because otherwise it wouldn't work to have one person die for everybody. One for one, maybe, but not one for all. And perfect, He couldn't have sins of his own, or he'd have to atone for them. And so if he's going to be a substitute, then there has to be sinless perfection in this substitute. And human, he had to be one of us, or he wouldn't be able to be a substitute for our sin. He was all of these. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Some people, of course, think that's his last name. That was not his last name. That's a title. It means Messiah. It means anointed one. He is the one who was anointed by God to be the Savior and Lord and leader. You know, when God had a choice of what to name his son, he had all the vocabulary, not of just all the languages of earth, but all the vocabulary of heaven as well. And he chose an ordinary name, a name that others had had before and many have had since. You see, it wasn't that the name made him great, Jesus. It was that the man made the name great. Philippians 2 describes how the Christmas child went from being a nobody to become the greatest somebody who has ever lived. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in our human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Who could ask for anything more? How could there be anything any better that we as Christians are the followers of this Christmas child called Jesus? He is a wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Father of all of forever. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Savior. He was born on Christmas Day. He died in our place on Good Friday. And he came back to life on Easter Sunday morning. And he is Jesus. Oh, our Father, how we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the child that was born in Bethlehem and the Son that was given from the eternity of heaven. And we say yes to his counsel, to his power, to his eternity, to his royalty, to being our own Savior and Lord. We say yes to Jesus this Christmas. Amen.